We continue to meander through the Gospel according to Matthew, and so if you have your Bible with you, or your Bible on your device with you, please would you turn now to the Gospel according to Matthew. We're in the Sermon on the Mount, and this morning our reading from there is from Matthew chapter 6 and from verse 19. And our sermon this morning is entitled, The Lethal Dangers of Materialism. A danger that every one of us faces daily, I'm sure. So a relevant word to us all from the Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness! No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Thus reads the word of God, and to his name be the praise. In our passage this morning, then, Jesus poses three searching questions. Question number one, where is your heart? Question number two, how true is your vision? And question number three, how peaceful is your state of mind? Where is our treasure? What are we focused on? Are we agitated and anxious? Underlying all three questions is one stark reality: the lethal danger of materialism. A danger we all face in a consumer society where we're constantly being told that our best life consists in having more and more of everything. More money, more possessions, more pleasures. Materialism promises so much, but delivers so little. Yet even for the Christian who knows better, the tug of war and the temptation of materialism can be terrible. A kind of balancing act between our desires and God's kingdom call upon our lives. We know the teaching so well. Look at it again if you have your Bible with you in 1 Timothy in chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6 and reading from verse 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Verse 17, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good and be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. In the Sermon on the Mount here, Jesus gives us clear, divine, distilled wisdom by which we can check out our hearts this morning and every day of our lives. First of all, he gives us a negative. Look at it in verse 19 of chapter 6 of Matthew. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Then the positive in verse 20. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Then this simple axiom, which Jesus wants us to build into our lives, the knowledge that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's as simple as that. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In our Lord's Middle East context of the time, beautiful clothing, abundant food supply, and gems or precious metals were the treasures to set your heart upon. You remember Achan. His story is in Joshua chapter 7, who found a beautiful Babylonian garment so tempting, and his covetous heart brought an entire nation into defeat. In Jesus' day, as you know, there were no banks like we have. Moss and rust and vermin were constant reminders that worldly treasures can be here today and gone tomorrow. Jesus makes the point that the accumulation of wealth is a precarious pursuit. He's not condemning wealth or wise investment, simply letting us know in no uncertain terms that everything material is temporary, nor can it satisfy the deepest longings of our heart. In fact, quite the opposite. The pursuit of riches can shipwreck our faith, derail our lives, and cause eternal loss, as we saw in Paul's words to Timothy. Christians are to work hard, provide for their families, take care of those in need. Rich or poor or in between, we are all called to be wise in our stewardship, generous and caring. The point is, if anything in this world means everything to you, you have a problem. If anything in this world means everything to you, you have a problem. In the end, we can take nothing with us. Job understood this perfectly, didn't he? He was one of the wealthiest men of his day, but he said, the bottom line is this, naked I came from the womb into this world, and naked I shall depart. Or, as a Spanish proverb says, there are no pockets in a burial shroud. Just think of that. There are no pockets in a shroud. Although I must tell you that several of my friends in the States have funeral homes. And I have seen some of the latest coffins. And they even have a place for your cell phone. And then they have little drawers for some of your treasures that you'd like to have around your body. But I have to tell you, my dear friend, that it won't help you to have a fender trailer full of gold behind your hearse. So as the old saying says, do your giving while you're living, then you're knowing where it's going. Your heart, Jesus uses the word heart, your heart in the Bible is the center of your being. It is the wellspring of every thought and motive. And Jesus says, we must guard our hearts, lest they fall prey to the lethal danger of materialism. Jesus reminds us in the Sermon on the Mount that if our heart is set on heavenly treasure, then our treasure is incorruptible forever. And so in the next verses 22 to 24, Jesus asks us, having checked our heart, to check our vision. Verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness? The eye is the window through which light comes into the body. In that sense, it is the lamp of the body. Jesus is telling us that stinginess is like having a bad eye. You get things out of focus, like Demas, who forsook Paul because he was in love with this present world. Like the rich man in the parable that was read to us from Luke chapter 16, who fared sumptuously in his palatial residence, but was blind to the needs of Lazarus, who sat at his gate day by day asking for help. Materialism makes us one-eyed wanderers. It makes us turn a blind eye to those who are asking for some of our sacred cow, our hoarded treasure. On the ecclesiastical side of things, it has to be said that the prosperity gospel comes from bad spiritual eyesight, diseasing the church with materialistic Christians who have distorted vision. A grasping heart will cause you to focus on the wrong things. Darkness will enter your soul. Have you noticed how materialistic people are fraught with dissatisfaction? There's a guy not far from you who lives in a mansion overlooking the sea and the beach here. In his garages are the most expensive cars that money can buy. He is as miserable of sin and as mean as Scrooge. If you're looking for satisfaction, you won't find it looking horizontally. If you're looking for satisfaction and fulfillment, you'll have to look vertically. This world and all its lures will never give you what only God can give you. Darkness becomes pitch black when greed reigns. Materialism shuts out the light of Christ. Materialism is like cataracts in both eyes. It clouds our vision regarding God's idea of success. And we begin to measure success in material and financial terms. Materialism clouds our vision of the worth of others. We begin to look down on others who do not have what we have. Materialism clouds our ambition for our own children sometimes. We find ourselves wanting them to be rich instead of righteous. Materialism distorts our vision of the will of God and makes us self-centered instead. Materialism clouds our vision of the truth of Holy Scripture, and we begin to apply the truths according to our own desires. Materialism leaves us plagued with a spirit of dissatisfaction. I heard the other day of a rich lady who made the painter repaint her bedroom 13 times and then decided anyway on the original shade that he had put on the wall. Materialism breeds covetousness and envy, which makes our souls become darker still. Jesus says then, check your heart, verses 19 to 21. Check your vision, verses 22 and 23. And he drives home the point in verse 24. Look at it again. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Love and hate are common Semitic idioms. Jesus' meaning is crystal clear. If you have two masters, you will prefer one over the other. God and money both demand your allegiance. Which one will you serve? Which one will you end up a love slave to? It cannot be both, says the Lord Jesus. Jesus says in Luke 16:9, and I love this verse, don't you? Use your wealth to make friends who will welcome you into heaven. Use your wealth to make friends who will welcome you into heaven. Put your money into the evangelization of lost souls, and you will be laying up treasure in heaven, treasure that will never, ever pass away. And so Jesus moves very naturally to his third point. Where is your heart? How's your vision? What you're focusing on? And thirdly, how peaceful then is your state of mind and heart? Verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And so on. Materialism is an incubator that births anxiety. So the therefore is there because of everything Jesus has just said about where your heart is and how your vision is. In the light of what he has just said, therefore, we need as Christians, as disciples of Jesus, never to be overcome with anxiety. But materialism is an incubator for anxiety. Distracted and distorted, a divided and dysfunctional state of mind. And so three times in these verses, from verse 25 to verse 34, Jesus tells us not to worry. And he tells us what not to worry about. And he tells us why not to worry. Yet worry comes naturally, does it not? We get anxious about everything you can think about. Today our world is filled with anxiety over the coronavirus. Today people consume tranquilizers by the ton and run to counselors in their millions. Anxiety produces everything from nervous breakdowns to heart attacks, addictions, and suicide. And Jesus teaches us here that if God is our Father, we don't have to worry ourselves sick about things like food and clothing, because we have a Father in heaven who looks after the entire created order, and therefore he is quite capable of looking after you and me. After all, as Jesus says, we are far more valuable to God than the birds and the flowers. If God looks after the mosses and the fynbos, he will certainly look after you. No wonder Martin Luther encouraged the members of his congregation to let the birds and the flowers be their teachers. So there are three things we must do, according to Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount. Number one, we must have faith in God. O ye of little faith, anxiety comes from little faith. The equation is very simple. Little faith equals great anxiety. Great faith equals no anxiety. We must trust the Lord. My God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Pagans have permission to be anxious, but not God's children. Paul says to the Philippians, writing from prison, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about a single thing. If in everything with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, you make known your requests to God, the peace of God that transcends all human understanding will keep God over your heart and your mind in the experiential knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. First, we must trust our Heavenly Father. He's quite capable of taking care of us. Secondly, verse 33, we must get our priorities in order. Seek first, not second or third or fourth, seek first the reign of Christ and his right way for your life, and everything else will be yours as well. 50 years ago, I graduated from theological seminary with a bunch of guys who went like me into full-time ministry. We still keep in touch with each other, those of us who are still alive, every day. We're on a WhatsApp group. We all have one thing in common. It is our testimony, and it goes like this. When you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he takes care of everything else. Don't try and tell me God doesn't take care of his children. I'll refer you to dozens of my colleagues who will bend your ear with stories of God's provision until the cows come home, and you'll be sorry you ever asked. You know what old people are like. Unnecessary anxiety never plagues those who trust fully in God and make his mission their priority. Shall I say it again? Unnecessary anxiety never plagues those who trust in God and make his mission their priority. And thirdly, Jesus says, take one day at a time. Don't worry about tomorrow. The God of today is already there. Worry about tomorrow will sabotage your strength for today. You see, God will always give you the strength to bear the troubles that come your way today. And he will do the same tomorrow. More than that, he will use them to bring a blessing you otherwise would never have known. Beloved, anxiety is never so futile as when it is borrowing trouble. Jesus' counsel is so simple, yet so profound. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Isn't that the truth? Especially today with the coronavirus pandemic. So here's the conclusion of the matter. In our consumerist, entitled, materialistic society, God help us to be so in love with Jesus and his redemptive mission that we stay free of the lethal dangers of materialism. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Our Now, Father, we thank you for the pure, unadulterated truth that comes to us from the lips of the Lord Jesus, who is himself the embodiment of truth and the way and the life. Thank you for opening our eyes to the reality that as your disciples, we do not have to be anxious. Thank you, dear Lord, that although materialism incubates anxiety, we can be delivered from a materialistic spirit and live in the freedom and the joy of knowing that our God supplies every need of ours according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And if for any reason he withholds, he always has a wise and loving plan in doing so. Thank you, Lord, that you are at work in everything for the good of those who love you. And so may we be counted among those who love you with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and with all our strength. And help us to love our neighbor as you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.